Well, Grace Point, I just want to welcome you again if you're just joining us as you and I just started worship this morning, celebrating God's precious act in the life of one of our own as we welcome the new member into service. Well, Grace Point, I just want to welcome you again if you're just joining us as you and I just started worship this morning, celebrating God's precious act in the life of one of our own as we welcome the new member into service this morning, Annie Pilgrim. It just makes my heart so full to begin today administering one of the sacraments to our faithful here. But for now, we're going to transition and continue in worship as we respond to this baptism, as we thank and celebrate what God has just done here among us through the proclamation of His Word and see the truth of Him revealed in Scripture. And if you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope that you do, go ahead and open those. We're going to be in the book of Exodus this morning. That's the second book. You need your Bible. We're going to be in chapter 3, and we're going to look at the call story of a very well-known biblical character, and that is Moses. But before you and I dive into the text this morning and unpack what God has to say to us, let's first go to Him in prayer to prepare our hearts and minds to hear what He wants to say this morning. If you would you pray for me? Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for witnessing Your movement already as we begin this week. And Lord, as we gather before You through speakers and screens, united to You and united to one another by Your Holy Spirit, God, I pray that You open our hearts and minds to see You and receive You, whether that's for the first time or for the millionth time, moment by moment, to receive You and to grow into a deeper, affectionate love of You. God, show us what You would have to see and know through this word this morning. And Lord, it's in Your Holy Son, Christ's name, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, church, if you have those Bibles again, it's going to be Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read the first 15 verses. This is Moses being called by God. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but was not consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, he answered. Do not come closer, he said. Remove the sandals from your feet. For the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt, and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors. I know about their sufferings, and I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So because the Israelites' cry for help has come to me, I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I am the one who sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this mountain. Then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. Church, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, and amen. Wow, what a wonderful way to jump into the Word of God this morning. Anytime you and I come to a place in Scripture, whether it's in the Old Testament or whether it's in the New Testament, where we we see God or Christ calling his prophets and leaders or disciples. We want to pay attention, we want to pump the brakes and lean in to see how God is coming in a personal way to interact with people in this world that he is calling to do his great task in the world. Because you see, God is God, but these people that God calls, whether it's Moses or Paul or the 11 disciples or people like you and I, flesh and blood like us, that God is calling out of the world for his holy purpose. And when we see him call, we want to look at the pattern of how they act to God and how he responds to them. And the call of Moses is no different. Because as God calls him, as Moses answers to God, he answers in a way that you and I can identify with, that most of all the people in Scripture can identify with, that there are patterns and principles analogous to Christian living based on how God interacts with the great men and women of faith in this book. And so this morning, God comes to Moses, and he gives Moses this enormous task to go and represent him before the most powerful sovereign nation of the day, Egypt, and Pharaoh, to deliver his people from that oppression. And Moses utters three words. Words that I have wrestled with throughout my Christian life. Words that I know many of you have wrestled with. Words that I know many of you went to bed last night thinking about or woke up this morning thinking about. And those words are, who am I? And those words, who am I, seem to resurface cyclically, not only throughout Scripture, but throughout our faith journeys. As God presents Moses with this task, who am I, Lord? I know for me, at conversion, when I was finally put right before God and freed from the fear of condemnation, I found myself asking, who am I, Lord? It is in asking God that and recognizing who he is, as Moses is about to recognize, in light of who we are, we come to recognize that it is God doing the salvation work in our lives. And so as we say, who am I? And come to a realization of reprioritizing who the holy God is, revealed in Jesus, and who we are as his humble servants, that we seem to pivot in our maturation throughout the faith, and come to know God even greater as he has come and revealed himself even greater to us. And so at conversion, as we are free, recognizing that we are sinners, helpless, dead in our trespasses, and come to the place of repentance and who am I, that we are free. It's throughout our Christian maturation, it's throughout our lives as the work of the Spirit within us sanctifies us, and we grow from moment to moment, day by day, as we steward the work of God in the world and within us through his grace and love, that we continue to have an awareness of who we are and light of who Jesus is. And we come to rely on the faithfulness of God. We come to trust greater in the Jesus can plan than the I can plan. And then it's in ministry. As you and I receive the joy of freedom from the condemnation and wrath we deserve in our sins, as we recognize God has pardoned us and called us into his family, putting us in the right before our eyes. And then as he continually grows us and shapes and forms us, sometimes painfully, into the growing likeness of his Holy Son, he places a call on our lives, gives us a great task by which he calls Moses to do as well. And that's the work of ministry. And again, as he has gifted us and empowered us to advance his kingdom in the world, we often find ourselves struggling and wrestling with that which we're supposed to do for God. And again, over and over we ask ourselves, or come to this place rather, who am I to do this thing that which you called me to do that seems so impossible? And again, he speaks to us that it is not you, but it is me. That this ministry is not your ministry, it is my ministry. The fruit that you bear is me working within you to bear that fruit. And so as we come to know him and are found by him, as we grow in him, as we are called to exercise what he has given us, we pivot and we grow and we come to a deeper, affectionate understanding of who God is as we continually reflect on who we are. And we must never forget that this truth is so important, so central to how we abide joyfully and obediently in God Himself, to live and serve this world in relationship with Him. We are called to rest on that faithfulness. We are called to remember and recognize in all humility of who we are versus who God is. And as Moses poses this question in the face of God's call and commission on his life, how God responds to who he is, gives us timeless promises and principles that you and I need to harbor and hold deep in our heart this morning as we stand before God on our knees, as we prostrate our heart, soul, and mind, and constantly come to him in awareness of who we are versus who he is. And as Moses asked him, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and do this thing? In verse 12, God tells Moses, I will certainly be with you. That's how God responds. Who am I? He responds with a presence. That you, Moses, will not be without my presence. That Moses' great task, seemingly impossible task, seemingly a task he is unqualified to do, only comes with the presence of God Himself. And I want you to think about that promise as it points to where we are under the new covenant, under Christ's lordship. At the end of Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, Jesus tells his disciples these familiar words: go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. As Christ Himself commissions His holy church to take the good news of what God has done in Him, He not only sends them out into the pagan, wicked, idolatrous world, but He sends them out with the same promise that God gives Moses to do the seemingly impossible task. I am always with you to the end of the age. We're not called and commissioned to go alone. We go with the Holy God. And the significance of God's holy presence, not only in Moses' call, but in our call, is revealed and shown by how God reveals His name to Moses. And this is where the significance of God's presence really formalizes and comes into just a beautiful, beautiful picture for us to look at and to gaze into. At verse 14 and 15, God replies to Moses once again, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every nation. So Moses gets God's presence. The church gets Christ's presence in the Holy Spirit. And that presence is significant by how God reveals Himself to Moses in this moment. I am who I am. That could be translated as I am because I am. That can also be translated as I will be who I will be. Regardless, it's a verb of being in the future tense. And this has wrapped the hearts and minds of scholars and theologians and pastors for 2,000 years. But what is clear, what God is conveying, is that He is expressing His everlasting and eternal nature as a God, as Moses' God, as the Israelites' God, and who through Christ will be the God of the world. That the everlasting, the one who has no end, is revealing Himself to us, saying that His presence is with us as He sends us to do what He calls us to do. And so Moses' call, just like the church is called church, is predicated on the presence of the Holy God who has always been, who is, and will always be. Think about those implications, Grace One. The creator of existence, who transcendently exists outside of space and time, is an awesome God who gives us his presence within space and time to go with and to go in us. St. Augustine, a 5th century bishop, in his church teachings, comments on this passage, comments on this eternal, everlasting attribute of God. Augustine says, he, talking about God, is the first and greatest existence, who is utterly unchangeable, and who can say most perfectly, I am who I am. You shall say to them, he who is has sent me to you. In contrast to who Moses was and everything that he was not, God is explicitly saying that it is only by him that Moses' task will be accomplished. And as Christians, Grace One, the work of our salvation and Christian calling is no different. It's in the company of God's everlasting presence that we are called to rest on his faithfulness in the work of grace in our life. And in the world, in the mode that he affects that grace on us is through Christ himself. It is in Jesus that we are able to receive that grace, to be found in the presence of God. And it's in Jesus that we're able to understand and fully see what it is that God has done for us in his gifting and love for us. Because you see, it is through Jesus, it's in the gospel story, that this everlasting God who transcends space and time, the eternal, comes into the temporal in the form of us, and lives and serves this world in a way you and I have never been able to do because of the temporal forces of sin and death that has prevented us from relating and communing with God, that has prevented us from loving and serving one another. God himself steps into this temporary space that is wasting away and decaying under the bounds of sin and death, and subjects himself to that same sin and death. But it's in the power of God that the temporal forces of sin and death that plague us with fear and worry and anxiety and scars could not triumph against the Son of God himself in Christ, who defeated the grave, mocked those forces of evil, and stand as both God and man in the presence of heaven, uniting us to God himself, affording us his first fruits of that resurrection power that gives us hope in being to live in this temporal world as the eternal, everlasting God has not only given himself in his presence, but through that presence brought us into him. Church, that's part of the good and the good news of the gospel. That what we can do, bound by time and space, God's everlasting transcendence did with us to afford us that same everlasting existence with him. And as God liberated Israel from Egypt in that Exodus event, you and I under the new covenant, under the covenant that baby Annie was just initiated into, a part of the household of God, we have been redeemed as the whole world has through the Christ event. Because we are free from sin and death. We are free from that which has told us to enjoy that which will last forever with God who has lasted forever. In John 11:25-26, Jesus is talking to Martha and his good friend has just passed away and has been in the grave. And he's talking to Martha and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And he asked her, do you believe this? The same I am who stood before Moses in the burning bush to call him to redeem a people is the same I am who has came to redeem the world is the same everlasting eternal presence of God that through believing in him, resting on his faithfulness in everlasting presence, that you and I receive the holy, precious, unmerited gift of life forever. The holy I Am who called and sent Moses has now called us to everlasting life in Christ and sends us to spread that glorious news to all. But we must remember, church, who we are versus who Christ is. Because it is only by Christ that we are and we can. I want to leave you with one final thought this morning. It comes from the writings of a well-known Argentinian evangelist named Luis Palau. And he writes in a book, hearing a great speaker, a speaker by the name of Major Ian Thomas, who put together this organization called Torchbearers, who exists to educate Christians around the world. And as Luis hears this great Bible and church teacher speaking, he hears him speaking exactly on the passage that you and I just read. And he remembers that Major Thomas was talking about how Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness only to learn that he was nothing. Only to learn in a single moment before a burning bush that he was nothing as he utters the words, "Who am I?" And if you remember, Moses had to take off his shoes. And Lewis recounts Major Thomas saying he had to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground, because this burning pile of sticks was holding the very presence of the holy God. Because God was in the bush, Moses had to take off his shoes. Moses recognized exactly who he was and who his God was. Major Thomas would go on to say that God was telling Moses, "I don't need a pretty bush or an educated bush or an eloquent bush. Any old bush will do as long as I'm in the bush. If I'm going to use you, it won't be you doing something for me, but me doing something through you." And Lewis said he recognized through tears and conviction as the Spirit moved within him that I was that kind of bush. A useless bunch of dried up sticks. I could do nothing for God. All my reading and studying and modeling myself after others was worthless unless God was in the bush. Only He could make something happen. And so, Lewis says, when Major Thomas closed his message, he ran back to his room and in tears and prayed in his native Spanish tongue. And his spiritual struggle was finally over that day. He decided he would let God be God and let Lewis be dependent on Him. And so, church, my challenge for you today is to ask yourselves and prayerfully contemplate who you are, considering who God is, as known through the precious revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just stand before You. And all that we are and all that we can be and any good that comes from us is by Your hand, is by Your work working in and through us. And Lord, my prayer is that through this word and through Your Spirit that You open our hearts and minds today to receive You deeper and fully and to rest on who You are despite who we are. And Lord, my prayer is that Your Spirit awaken us to ask the question, who am I? And that You speak the beautiful, precious gospel message of Jesus Christ into our hearts to recognize it isn't us, but it is all You. Change us and shape us in that moment. Use that moment to allow us to pivot into a deeper maturation and knowledge of You that allows us to abide peacefully and joyfully and lovingly in relationship. And God, we thank You for what You've given and what You have done through Jesus. And it's in His holy name, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, church, before I bless you with a benediction, I just have a few announcements for you. First and foremost, tomorrow we're going to be starting a Baptist school theme on Facebook. So follow along with that. We're going to do different themes day by day. And so track with that, interact with that in the comment sections, like, share those things to not only show the community, but to show our congregation how we're thinking about and caring for our teachers and our families who have really wrestled mightily with making decisions on how to begin school this fall. And so we want to lift them up before God. So we want you to participate, and that will start tomorrow beginning on Facebook. So look out for those posts. Also, I want to remind you, you received an email last week explaining to you that beginning on September 6th, we're going to hold outdoor communion services right here behind the church out back under our pavilion. And you can go online at grace29olive.com. You should see a link in the comments section below where you can register for these days. Right now we have 3 days open, September 6th, 7th, and 10th. And so these groups are only going to be held to 10 people or less, but we're going to come together socially distanced, masked up, and we're going to have prayer and devotion, and we're going to receive Holy Communion together and just have an intimate moment of worship. And we're going to continue to hold these. Hopefully we're going to have two or three services each week. We'll continually open registration as needed until all of you who have a desire to be served have been served. And so if you want prayer, if you need fellowship, and you want to commune with the Lord in a corporate worship setting, sign up for one of those communion services. And like I said, we're going to have them each and every week until all who want to partake and partake. But if you're homebound, if you're shut-in, if you're just unable to come here, please email me. You can find my contact information on our website and let me know that you would like prayer, that you would like communion brought to you, and I'll be more than glad to come and serve you in that way. And so our final announcement is I'm going to remind you to continue to give your tithes and offerings. You can give easily online at our giving portal. You should see that link in the comments below. But you can also mail in your checks. We're checking the mail every single day. And I just want to encourage you, church, that even though we haven't been together for most of the summer, going back to mid-spring, the church still goes on. We still have financial obligations that we have to meet to ensure that we have stability and to ensure that we can continue to serve you. And so I just want to thank you for all the gifts and the blessings that you have given us. And I hope and pray that as God continues to bless you, that you will continue to bless us with your giving. And we just thank you so much for your faithfulness. And so, church, hear this blessing before you go into this week. I pray that the Lord bless and keep you, that the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and that the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And, church, I hope and I pray that you go in the peace of who God is, despite who we are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.